bring salvation and renew a right spirit within me.
We'll be quick today. So it's the start, as you know, of the Coptic year. We're 8 days into the new year. It's the start of a new academic year. And 2 weeks ago, His Grace Bishop Willis spoke to us about new start or new beginning. I want to continue along the same theme. Behold, I make all things new. From the book of Revelation, maybe if you just go. Book of Revelation, chapter 21. And if I could trouble someone to read the first few.
The English is the Arabic. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
What was your favorite verse from those five? Yeah, me too. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So all things made new. Actually, if we go back, the Lord made a new covenant with us. At the very beginning, there was an old covenant that was given through Moses, through the Ten Commandments. Even before that, there was a law that was given to every human being when the Lord breathed to create man, and that's called the natural law. We all have the natural law, the law of the conscience, which existed with humanity through the patriarchs from Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way until the written law was given through Moses. But now Christ came and gave us a new law that's written not on the tablets of stone, but written in our minds and in our hearts. So maybe someone can read from Hebrews 8. Go ahead, Vivi.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord.
Back to John.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
It was very good for the Lord to put his laws in our minds and in our hearts, because out of the heart can proceed all kinds of evil, and also out of the mind. So before I actually commit a sin, it has to start somewhere. It either is starting from my heart or from my mind. So if the Lord puts his laws in those two very important places, then it protects me from falling into sin, which would harm me and harm those around me. Like we said, in the Old Covenant, it was given through Moses, the servant of God, 10 commandments written on tablets of stone. And even after the written commandments, we have the laws of the prophets. The prophets continue to remind us to come back to God. The new covenant now we have, though, is given through Jesus Christ, does not abolish the old covenant, but completes it. And the Lord's laws, or his words and laws, are written in our hearts and in our mind. And we're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. So the Lord has put his laws in our minds. We're all Christian. We're all been baptized, and in our hearts. And he is our God, and we are his people. But we actually need to ask ourselves, are the Lord's laws really in my mind, or what is filling my mind? Are they really in my heart? Do I meditate on the Lord's words regularly? And is he, of course, we all say the Lord is our God. Are we his people? Are we committed to him? If we are, then we are a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How were all things created new for us? You all know the answer. Our old sinful nature was put to death, buried with Christ through baptism, and we rose with Christ and were given a new nature again through baptism. So the question is the old nature gone for good? I've been baptized, new creation. Is my old nature gone for good? Yes, unfortunately not. We have to make an effort to keep the new nature. It doesn't take much effort to slip back to the old nature. We have to labor to keep the new nature. And the way we labor is, if we don't labor, then we could be in this bucket which is called living according to the flesh. And we know that if we live according to the flesh, then we perish, because the old sinful nature takes over again. However, if we labor to live according to the Spirit, then we are a new creation in the Spirit, living a spiritual, heavenly, righteous life. So how to become a new creation was, of course, the sacrament of baptism. But how to remain a new creation is living a life of constant repentance, partaking through the sacrament of confession, and of course, renewing our covenant with the Lord through regular communion. The Lord's body and blood are given for the remission of sins and eternal life to everyone who partakes of him. We already sang the song. I put it in here, but I won't make us sing it again. But really, it's up to each one of us, because of all God's creation, the spiritual beings, the angels, the animals, who don't have a spirit but have a body, and matter, like wood, everything that God created obeys him 100% of the time. Even the devils, they had a choice, and some fell, some didn't. Even the ones who fell, they have to obey the Lord. When he casts out evil spirit, they're cast out. Human beings were a bit of a strange beast, because we're the only ones who sometimes disobey the Lord. We're given the gift of free will, and we could use it to decide to obey the Lord or to disobey the Lord. So now He's not going to force me to remain a new creation. I could reject to be a new creation and harden my heart, stick to my own way of thinking and ideologies and my own ego and my own choices instead of God's plan for my salvation. And I could choose to live according to the flesh, an earthly, carnal life, which would naturally lead to perdition, suffering, and eternal death. Or, God willing, I choose to accept to be a new creation. Create in me a new heart, O Lord, an enlightened mind, live according to the Spirit, and have a pure heavenly life leading to an eternal life in heaven. If I choose to accept to be a new creation, I get a lot of new things. I get the new joy. I get the new peace. I get the true love. I get the new wisdom. And I live in what we could say the newness of life. We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. New peace, peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to go to St. John's epistle quickly. First John chapter 2, verse 7. Maybe Mark. Brethren,
I write no new commandments to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who was from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one.
Okay, St. John says, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment. And then he comes back and says, again, a new commandment I write to you. But it's the same commandment, because God is love from the beginning. And you have known him who is from the beginning. It's the same commandment in the Old Testament and the New Testament, which is the love, loving God and loving our neighbors or one another. Let's go and see what we hear about wisdom now from St. James. James 3. Verse 13. 1 second. I think I got the wrong verse. Yes, 13. Go ahead.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there.
Okay, so there's two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom from above, and then there's this other wisdom, which is earthly, sensual, and demonic. What's demonic? It's like devils. So that's the wisdom of the world, that we don't want that wisdom. We want the wisdom of God, the new wisdom from above. Because the wisdom of this world will tell me to cheat, to lie, to get ahead, to take what's not mine, to take when someone's not looking. But the wisdom of God says it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we want the new wisdom of God, the new peace, the new love. All things new. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, new Jerusalem, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. The former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Okay, now we want to practically apply how to partake in the newness of life. Now, if you look at after the earthly environment, you know there's three R's, right? What are the three R's? Yes. So we found that there's actually a whole bunch of R's to help our spiritual environment, okay? So we're going to summarize them into five R's. So to help my spiritual environment, I need to review my actions on a daily basis in reflection. I need to return if I find that as I review my actions, something was not pleasing to the Lord. It is not what Jesus would do. I need to return. So review, return. Refuse. Refuse to conform to the world. There are lots of magnets out there in the world that are drawing us down to earth. This morning, Bhuvanesh was giving a sermon, and he was talking about earthly gravity that draws us down to earth based on Newton's law and physics and all that stuff. And it also, Newton has a law, every action has a reaction. So if someone hits me, my reaction is to hit them back. Curses me, I curse them back. That's the physical, if you will. But the heavenly gravity draws us up to heaven and tells us to pray for those who do us harm. Okay, so back to the R's. Review, return, refuse to conform or to sin. Next we have recharge. Recharge on a daily basis. And finally we have renew. So review, return, refuse, recharge, renew are the five R's to help my spiritual environment. So review, we said, on a daily basis, we need to reflect. Just like the disciples, when they had returned, sat down with the Lord. And you'll recall that they asked them questions like the sons of Zebedee said, we saw someone who's not following us preaching your name, and we forbade him. And the Lord said, no, don't forbid him. He was not against us, is on our side. Review my actions, reflect daily at the Lord's feet. Return to the Lord, refuse to conform to the world. Recharge my spiritual batteries, renew my covenant with the Lord. Those are the five R's to help my spiritual environment, just like we have the R's to help our physical environment. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Any comments or? Sure. And I'll correct the slides and I'll post the updated slides.
Thank you.
Anything else? Southern U.S. I remember asking him a question because since now we have free will, what makes us so that, say, we make it, thank God, all to heaven, what makes us we're not going to sin anymore? Because when we make it to heaven, we'll have basically, I can't remember how, inability to sin. Then we ask them, how about the devil? How come the devil has sinned and there's no repentance for him, for the demons? The way he explained it is, the spiritual beings, when they were created, they were given a choice right away. It's not like us, we have time. We go through ups and downs. We sin and we get back up. And we have time here on our to labor to make it back. They decide right away which path they're going to take. It's not like they can change their mind. So they don't have that concept of they will repent. And it's hard to understand because I don't really understand. How can someone, you know, in an instant make the choice whether to follow God or to have pride to want to be like God? But yeah, they had their decision, basically. It's not like they still have the chance to revise their decisions, where we are really spoiled beings because we have all this time in the world that even when we make mistakes, we're able to come back, and we have the audacity to choose sometimes, okay, I'm not going to obey God in these things, where as all the other creatures and all the other, like the seas and the storms and the winds, they obey God without question. But we sometimes give our mind too much leeway to decide what we want to obey and what we want to disobey.
That's true. Yeah, but I would add to this also that God in His mercy knows that we're captives in this flesh. So that the angels, they don't have this earthly nature that drags them down, right?
Yes.
So we have the desires, we're weak human beings,
yeah.
And that's why our struggle makes sense. But angels, they don't have a struggle.
Yes.
They are purely spiritual. So it's just like the pride that hit Lucifer right away. So,
we have an excuse.
God has mercy
yeah.
on us,
yeah.
like.
On our weakness. Yes. More accurately, accept to be renewed. Like when I say, create in me a new heart, O God.
Yeah.
I want to renew the heart that I had when I came out of the baptism that was fully pure. Yeah. Through repentance, confession, communion, constant prayer. There's no such thing. It was just too scary. Yeah. Then you say, honestly, Father, there's many other sins I've committed that I can't remember. The Lord is not like, okay, you forgot one. And if you remember it later, you could come back and confess, but you don't forbid yourself from going back and partaking of the body of Christ over those. Sorry, but on that, people shouldn't abuse it as well, just saying like, oh yeah, I keep hitting Dr. Samir, and I'm like, yeah, I forgot to confess. When I'm willingly doing stuff that's bad, but I'm just like being, it's not forgetting, it's being careless about what's right and wrong. Sorry. So you're saying we have hope because even the worst of sinners were saved.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know which father said this, but it is said there is danger for the saintliest of saints who does not constantly repent and read the Word of God. And there's hope for the worst of sinners who in receiving salvation through the Word of God. So, yeah, it's like there's no one who have made it there, and there's no one who is like, I can't make it. They had the negative zeal became positive zeal.
They did not have this like one foot here, one foot there, which is our goal. That's why we don't progress. Because and that's why, like, you know, when Jesus said the parable of the man who found that treasure, so he went and he sold everything. He hid it and he sold everything to go back and focus on this treasure. So until we find that treasure and we sell everything,
when he sinned, yeah. Yeah. Adultery, murder, lying, yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing God says that David is a man after my own heart, even though he fell. So he wasn't perfect. But David's sin was at a time where he got lazy in his spiritual. He was a man of prayer all the time, and he was a man of action. He was always going to war with his... Yeah, and here he stayed at home, took a stroll on his rooftop, maybe serving, oh, what a great kingdom I have. And yeah. Yeah. I want to take a break from God for a bit. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings upon us in this new Coptic year, this new academic year, and help us to have a newness of life with you all the time. Renew our covenant with you through prayers, through your holy readings, through praying for one another, remembering that we're all members in one body of Christ. Help us to enjoy life with you here, so that we can enjoy it amplified in the age to come through the intercession of Saint Mary and all your angels and saints. Hear us when we pray thankfully. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. In Christ Jesus, our Father, and the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.